Proverbs 18:21, we start a new series today. And you can guess based on this verse what it's about. Proverbs 18:21. What does it say? Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. So we're going to do a series, a couple weeks on, maybe 3 weeks, on the power of the tongue. Because it has a lot of power. Death and life, that's pretty powerful, isn't it? So we're going to start by looking at the commands and the warnings in the scripture, which there are an amazing large amount. And then we're going to look at the blessings that the tongue can produce and the damage that it can produce, all from scripture. And so we're going to learn heaps about the tongue, but we're going to start with the commands and the warnings. We'll do it in scripture order to keep it easy. So we'll start in Psalms 19 and verse 14, and we'll just take our time, maybe discuss each one along the way, and understand from scripture the power of the tongue. But first, let's pray. Lord, give us wisdom. And I pray that the Holy Spirit would use the Word of God to teach us and to grow us. Lord, I pray that we would honor your Word by obeying it and, Lord, learning it and applying it. I pray that you would guide us in your truth as we go through the Scriptures together. We thank you that you've given us the Scriptures to teach us these practical lessons. May we, again, apply them. So may you be honored in this time in your word. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So that will be kind of our theme verse, Proverbs 18:21, because it has that phrase, the power of the tongue, which will be the title of our series, the power of the tongue. So let's start scripture order, Psalms down through wherever we finish. Peter. Looking at what the scriptures teach as far as commands and warnings about the tongue. So we'll start there with Psalms 19:14. Roy, if you could read that for us.
Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer.
Amen. So we often, this might be a memory verse of yours, we have to talk about this meditation of the heart, but he also says that the words of my mouth. So David here is saying, let them be acceptable in thy sight. Amen. So that's very important, is that it's acceptable in the sight of our Lord. So 34:13 is our next verse, Mr. Zeus, if you would.
Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile.
So again, a command to keep our tongue from evil. And then, Brad, if you could do 39:1. So notice David here talking about self-control when it comes to the tongue. I will keep my mouth with a bridle. Remember when we get to James 3, it says we use a bridle in the horse's mouths, but we can't control our own tongue, which is part of self-control, isn't it? Part of temperance, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness. What's the last one? Temperance, which is self-control. That would include the tongue. So David says, I will keep my mouth with a bridle. I'm going to keep control. That's self-control. All right, let's move on to Proverbs then. Paul, could you read 10:32 for us? 10:32, yep, Proverbs 10:32. Uh-oh. You want me to move on? Okay, roll to me. Read Proverbs 10:32. So again, acceptable. They know what is acceptable as far as the tongue goes. By the way, Paul, these don't malfunction. Phones do, but God's word never does. Amen. All right, 11:13, Brother Paul. Yes, please.
Tale bearer revealeth secrets, but he that is of the faithful spirit concealeth them all.
Amen. So again, this keep your mouth shut, conceal the matter, as opposed to revealing it, which we'll be talking more about that later. Anytime you got questions, comments, speak up. But as you know, there's going to be heaps in Proverbs. Chapter 13, verse 3. Roy, if you could read that for us.
He that giveth his mouth keepeth his life, but he that openeth wide his lips shall have destruction.
So there's that word life again. Isn't that something? Life and death, we read Proverbs 18:21. Here again he says, if you keep your mouth, you keep your life. What a powerful truth. 15:2, Proverbs 15:2, Mr. Zeus, if you would.
The eyes of the Lord,
15:2, sorry.
The tongue of the wise uses knowledge aright, but the mouth of fools pours out foolishness.
So again, the tongue of the wise. Lord willing, that would be our tongue. Amen. All right, Proverbs 15:28, Brad.
The heart of the righteous studieth answer, but the mouth of the wicked poureth out evil things.
So look at that phrase, studieth to answer. We'll talk more about the evil things later, but in other words, thinks, you've heard the phrase, think before you speak, right? It's actually in the book of James, isn't it? Let every man be what? Swift to hear, but what? Slow to speak. Amen? Gave us two ears and one mouth. That should tell us something. So, it says, studieth to answer. All right, 17:9, Brother Paul. Proverbs 17:9.
He that covereth transgressions, but he that repeateth the matter, separateth very free.
So, we'll talk more about this later, but look at that word love. You know, we often talk about love being action. Here God says, he that covereth a transgression seeketh love, but he that repeateth it, what? Separates friends. 21:23, ultimately. So again, avoiding troubles by what? Keeping the mouth, again, controlling it, bridling it, whatever word you want to use. So those are some Old Testament commands and warnings about our tongue, but there are plenty in the New Testament as well, as we're going to see. So one of the strongest here in the Gospels is Matthew 12, Roy, verses 34 through 37, where he is, again, rebuking the Pharisees and the scribes. But one area he's rebuking them is with the tongue. So Matthew 12, 34 to 37.
O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? But out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. I say unto you, that every idle word a man shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. But by thy words,
these are the words of our Savior. Amen. And what does he say? Good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things. Evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. Sometimes Christians get confused about this. They think, well, so I'm going to live for God, but I'm going to be a gossip. Doesn't work, does it? God says it's, you can't, those two things don't combine. Out of the abundance of the heart. So if the mouth has a problem, the heart has a problem. That's what he's teaching us. That it comes out of the heart, ultimately. And every idle word. What a phrase. All right, 15:11, Mr. Zeus. Matthew 15:11, if you would. So we're looking at the commands and the warnings in the scriptures regarding the tongue. So remember the context here is how the Pharisees and scribes over the years had come up with all of these rituals, washing of hands, washing of dishes, and so forth. And they made such a big deal about the disciples just started eating and didn't wash their hands properly, you know, and with the right ritual. And that's when Jesus said, what goes in doesn't defile you, but what comes out through the mouth, in other words, what you speak with the tongue, that can defile the man. So it's not that you might eat some food with dirt on it. That doesn't defile you. But if the words that come out of your mouth are not scriptural or improper, that can cause defilement. And they, of course, they didn't understand that. So that's Matthew. And then 1 Corinthians 5:11. We'll carry on into the church epistles. Any questions or comments so far? The power of the tongue. All right, Brad. I should pick on Doug, too. Now again, context, 1 Corinthians 5 is about church discipline. There was a man in the church at Corinth that was sleeping with his mother-in-law, and it was publicly known. And Paul said in verse 5, deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. So we know this was a saved man. So Paul's teaching them. But then he goes on to say, be careful, having company with fornicators, covetous, idolaters, drunkards, extortioners, but he includes in there a railer. That's not a word we use much today, but it means a reviler. It means someone essentially attacking others with their tongue. Isn't that interesting that that's included in the list? With fornicators and idolaters and extortioners. Remember when the man went to pray? In Luke chapter 18. Oh Lord, I thank you that I'm not as other men are. Extortioners, adulterers. But he didn't bring up railer, did he? Or reviler. All right, speaking of reviler, 1 Corinthians 6:10. Doug, if you could read that for us. 1 Corinthians 6:10. Now, we all understand that, doctrinally speaking, we are none of these things because we've been forgiven all of our sins and been justified through the blood of Jesus. But again, included in this list with thieves and drunkards and extortioners are revilers, which you can't revile without using your tongue. So, another warning from Scripture. All right, let's move on to Ephesians chapter 4. Paul, if you could do 29 to 31 of Ephesians 4.
Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption, that all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you.
Isn't it beautiful that the grieving Holy Spirit verse is tucked in between 29 and 31? So we don't have to wonder the things that grieve the Holy Spirit, do we? What are those things? Verse 29, corrupt communication. Verse 31, bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and what? Evil speaking. So the tongue is on sandwiches both sides of this grieve the Holy Spirit verse. Corrupt communication and evil speaking. So again, a very stern warning in Ephesians about the tongue. All right, we'll move on to Colossians Ultimi, chapter 3, verse 8, if you would. So again, these are the warnings and the commands regarding our tongue. Colossians 3:8. So again, look what's mixed in there. And then Colossians 4:6, Roy, if you would.
Every speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man.
Amen. I forgot to mention it, but Proverbs, pretty good sized book, 31 chapters, 10% is about the tongue. And it's the book of wisdom from the wisest man outside of Christ that ever lived. Isn't that interesting? 1 Thessalonians 4:11, Mr. Zeus, commands and warnings about our tongue.
And if ye study to be quiet, and to do your own business, and to work with your own hands, as we commanded you.
Do your own business. I like that. What's the opposite? 2 Thessalonians 3:11 is the opposite. Doug, if you could read that for us. What's the opposite of doing your own business? 2 Thessalonians 3:11.
For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies.
Busybodies. Brother Brad, if you could do 1 Timothy 5:13, we'll also read about the opposite of doing your own business.
And with all their mentally idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but tattlers also, busybodies, speaking things which they ought not.
A lot of warnings about the tongue. And then Titus chapter 3 and verse 2, Paul.
Titus what, sorry?
3:2. By the way, that brawler there is not talking about wrestling, but is talking about being contentious. Anyway, notice Titus 3:2, speak evil of no man. All right, James chapter 1, which I mentioned earlier, 19 and 26, if you would, to me. James chapter 1, verses 19 and verse 26. Isn't that something? Seem to be religious. How could we seem to be religious? Well, it would be external, right? We might look right. We might dress right. We might act right on the outside. But God says that's vain if this person can't bridle his tongue. Isn't that interesting? Then religion is vain, God says. Now, the most powerful passage on the tongue is James chapter 3, by far. So let's take our time, let's go through it and learn, but let's read it first. Roy, it's your turn. So verses 2 through 12 of James chapter 3 is a sermon in itself.
For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in the word, the same is a perfect man. And we are able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horse's mouth, they may obey us. Also the ships, which, though they be so great and are driven by fierce winds, yet are they turned about it, a very small help, whithersoever the governor listeth, even so the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter of the little fire kindled. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity, so is the tongue among our members that it divideth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. Every kind of beast, and of birds, and of serpents, and of things in the sea, is tamed and has been tamed of mankind, but the tongue can no man tame. It is an unclean full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter, and the fig tree, my brethren, bear other berries, either a vine or figs, so can no fountain both be salt water and fresh.
Remember, Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. But also now, James is teaching us, again, about self-control. Look what he says in the beginning. If you offend not in word, you're able to bridle the whole body. So isn't that interesting? This word bridle comes up again, but one of the fruits of the Spirit is self-control. And that includes our tongue, doesn't it? Keeping it under control, keeping it bridled. God says, if you can bridle the tongue, you can bridle your whole body. Because the tongue, what does it say? It's a little member, and then he likens it to being able to turn a giant ship with just a little, we call it a rudder. The rudder's this big, and the ship is weighs tons. But that little rudder can turn the whole ship. And what's he saying there? Well, how we have this tiny little member, which can ruin everything for your Christian walk, because it's a fire, a world of iniquity, and it defileth the whole body there in verse 6. But then God goes further and says, and it's set on the fire of hell. Ouch.
Yeah, but as Christians, we're saved by grace. Okay?
Praise even God.
And before, sin now and sin in the future, all our sins are forgiven.
That's right.
James 1:1 to the 12 tribes of Israel. So this James is written to the 12 tribes of Israel. So you can apply some certain applications to this, but it's not written to the church today. We can take certain applications and along to apply it correctly. But James 1 is written to the 12 tribes of Israel, and this is written to them and how it's applied. How we interpret that, take it out of that, then we need to do that as it should be applied to the Christian faith. We all there, you know, use them, buy them, and so forth. We may say things that are inappropriate, but we have a God in heaven that's quick to forgive.
Amen.
Amen.
So if we confess our sin,
we're going to hell if we're Christians. That's not the case.
That's not what it says. It says it's set on the fire of hell.
Okay. So you're talking to non-Christians, or, well, the unbelievers.
That it doesn't say people are going to go to hell, Brother Mark. It says, look what it says. It says it's set on the fire of hell.
No, your phrase at the end said that. You said that, not the word. You said that, phrase words.
What did I say? Other than what the scripture says, I said it's set on the fire of hell.
Yeah.
I was quoting scripture.
Yeah, and you're right, you're in the right context.
Okay. Yeah. There's no question, James, written to the 12 tribes, but does James teach us about the tongue? Yes. It scripturally teaches us about the danger of the tongue, which is what this whole passage is about. Amen? And the descriptions of the tongue are pretty strong, pretty heavy. That is the point. He goes on to say in verse 9, it's an unruly evil full of what? Poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men. Yes, Christians, we do this sometimes. And thankfully we are forgiven through the blood of Jesus Christ and justified, as Mark said. But that does not give us permission to sin with our tongue, does it? And so God is very clear in warning us about the tongue in James 1 and James 3. So let's go to 1 Peter 2 and see if there's still more, which there is. 1 Peter chapter 2. I think it's your turn, Mark, if you would. 1 Peter 2:1. Yes, please. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. Amen. Evil speakings. And then 1 Peter 3:10. Brother Doug, if you would.
For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no God.
So God says one of the great ways to love life and see good days is to what? Refrain his tongue from evil. And then 1 Peter 4:15, Brad. Amen. So what we're finding here is we need help. Amen. We need help with our tongue. We need help from God. Without his help, we're going to be in trouble because our tongue is evil and can lead to major problems. And that's why we saw David asking God for help. Amen. With his tongue. One of the most beautiful verses is Psalms 141, verse 3. So let's just look at a couple verses where we can learn that we're to ask God for help with our tongue because we need it. Yes, please. So here David in one of his prayers says, Lord, set a watch before my mouth. That's a good prayer, isn't it? Keep the door of my lips. And then in Proverbs 16:1, again, we see asking God for help with our tongue. Brother Ultimi. So God is sovereign. But we have a free will. So again, if we ask, God can help us with our tongue. Amen. The answer of the tongue is from the Lord. And then Proverbs 21:23, Brother Roy, if you would. And then we saw 19:14 already. Let the words of my mouth be acceptable. And I forgot Psalms 37. Brother Mark, if you could do for us 37, 30 to 31. Psalms 37, sorry, verses 30 and 31. I missed that one. Psalms 37, verse 30 and 31.
The mouth of the righteous speaketh wisdom, and his tongue talketh for judgment. The law of his God is in his heart, none of his steps shall slide.
I like that verse 31. God says one of the best preventative measures is what? The law of his God is in his heart. So another benefit of memorizing scripture, amen, is it helps us control our tongue and speak, as it says, wisdom and talk of judgment. So as we see here, we need God's help. But controlling our tongue, this self-control thing, is a big part of the Christian life. Paul said, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, didn't he? Lest that but when I preach to others, I myself should what? Be a castaway. That includes our tongue. That we need God's help. We need to keep it under control. And this is just a listing of just warnings. And now we're going to get more detail next week where God says we need to keep our words few and we need to be careful. And we'll also talk about what the scriptures teach about the damage that can be done. Like we, our main verse, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Yes, brother.
Yeah. You say like Jesus spoke in his days, and obviously the Pharisees couldn't comprehend what he was saying.
That's right.
He thought evil against them and so forth. So we can go out and proclaim the truth as in from righteousness. But we can still obviously be affected by that, by those that don't adhere to the word. Well,
absolutely.
We interpret the word because, as we know, there's many denominations. We interpret the word different ways and how they apply it. We saw that from the Crusades, how they went out and slaughtered and so forth. And they're saying they're doing the will of God. So, I mean, we can have a opinion on how.
So there's no question if we proclaim the word, we're going to face persecution. Amen? The Bible makes that clear. All that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. John said, "Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you." 1 John 3:13. So yes, but that doesn't mean we shouldn't do it. We're commanded to do it. It just means if we do take a stand and give people the gospel, not everybody's going to accept it. They nailed Jesus to a cross, mostly for what he said. So the power of the tongue. Any other thoughts or questions before we close in prayer this morning? Next week, again, we'll see the many warnings about keeping our words few, and also then we'll move on to some specific teachings about the power of the tongue. Powerful little member.